You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. The Huskers completely dismantle Akron 68-0 on a beautiful night in Lincoln. The Big Red scored 9 touchdowns. 6 different players scored a touchdown. The offense had over 700 yards. Dylan Raiola had 364 yards passing. Emmett Johnson had 140 yards rushing. The Huskers were clicking on all cylinders, boys. And it was what you wanted to see. Last night was everything the Nebraska football program and everything the fan base needed. We'll get to all of that. Make sure you get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Subscribe on YouTube, like this episode, sign up for the newsletter, follow all the social media accounts, and generally keep up with all of the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. Also, guys, game day isn't complete without delicious Nebraska beef. And if you really want to upgrade your spread this season, Oak Barn Beef has got you covered. They ship premium Nebraska-raised beef straight from their family farm to your front door. Steaks, roasts, ground beef, you name it. Order online at oakbarnbeef.com. That's oakbarnbeef.com. And make every tailgate or watch party a little more memorable with Oak Barn Beef. Go to oakbarnbeef.com. You see all the bundles, all the delicious steaks, everything they've got there. So check it out. Fellas,
yeah,
how we feeling? Matty O, you were in the house last night, right?
I was in the house.
Yeah. I guess we're recording this on Sunday. It'll be out on Monday, but you were in the house on Saturday night.
I was in the house last night, Saturday night. Yeah. Well, yeah, Saturday.
Yeah. You know, because I think a lot of people across the country will see the 68-0 score and be kind of like, well, it's Akron. Well, that's what a Big Ten school should do to Akron. But let's just take one moment. Like, I got an email from a couple brothers before. They're friends of the program. No, not my brothers.
Oh,
couple guys who are big Husker fans.
Husker brothers from other mothers.
Yeah, they listen to the show, and they reached out to express some of their concerns about the Akron game, and just there was various reasons.
Concerns,
and now that I've brought this up, I've got to find the reasons. But just like recent history.
Prior to the game or after the game concern?
It's yesterday morning, or Saturday morning. Saturday morning.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So before the game was before the game.
Yeah. And like one of the reasons was like they're bowl ineligible because their academic progress rate was so low, which by the way, I didn't even know that could possibly happen. So not only are they a bad football team, they're a dumb football team.
Yeah.
But their APR score was so low and so they were like, maybe this is their bowl game. You know, there were just a lot of different reasons, but I think that is indicative of the sort of PTSD that Nebraska fans are living through, right? And I won't say that I was panicked, but Huskers are up 7-0, driving down the field, Emmett Johnson fumbles.
Yeah.
Right.
On the
And then we get the safety and it's like, okay, we're back on track. And then we drive down the field again and we go for it on 4th and goal. At the one and didn't get it. And so like 2 drives in a row, it's like, it feels like it should be about 21-0 right now. And it's not, it's 9-0. Like, is this going to like, and we just have too many examples in recent years of the wheels falling off, even against bad teams, even against FCS teams, all those things. So while this doesn't mean, I'm not sure how much it can tell us. I'm not sure how much 68-0 against Akron can tell us. It's what we were supposed to do. And we did it.
Yeah.
You're right. It was PTSD. TJ, I did feel like the doom and gloom of Scott Frost like looming over that game because of Akron back in 2018 when it got canceled. I don't know if there are football gods. I was like, oh God, I'm scared. I'm scared. I'm scared. Right. And then we took off from there. But yeah, I was a little bit nervous before the game started. And you're right, it is PTSD.
If that isn't like an indicator of like just how broken and beaten down our fan base is, I don't know what. Like we're talking about people sending you emails about how they might be a little concerned about Akron. About Akron. Can we just repeat that one more time out loud? Akron. Like,
yep.
We are so, so beaten and broken. Like, it's like to convince ourselves that, I don't know, but it's class, but it makes me laugh because it's classic Nebraska fan. You know, Art Bowles, well, this is going to be their Super Bowl right here. And they're going to come out swinging.
Like, well, it's not unfounded given the last 10 years.
I know.
These
guys are both like heavily engaged, well-informed, smart Nebraska football fans. And they still have Nebraska starter jackets, they indicated to me. So all good things. And I did write back to them. I said, I did get a D in anatomy and physiology, so take this for what it's worth. But I believe what your experience is PRPF PTSD. And that's post-Riley, post-Frost PTSD.
It is.
That's what I believe that is.
That's a clinical diagnosis.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. So, and I also suggested that perhaps a decisive victory would exorcise the demons that were unleashed on the program during that thunderstorm cancellation rainout 7 years, 8 years ago, whatever it was, and lead Nebraska football into a new era of broad sunlit uplands.
Yes.
Yes.
Very good.
All right. Should we do corn cobs?
Is that Churchill? Who's that one?
That is Churchill. Very good. Yeah. If we can stand up to Hitler, then all of Europe may be free and the life of the world may move forward into broad sunlit uplands. Sorry, Mattio. Do you want to do corn cobs, Mattio?
Let's get into corn cobs. And once again, corn cobs brought to you by Nebraska Farm Bureau.
Hold on. Let me. Geez, how did I fail to do that? Come on, quoting Churchill over here, and just getting sidetracked. All right, the corn cob segment is brought to you by the Nebraska Farm Bureau, the largest agricultural organization in the state with more than 56,000 members. For over a century, Farm Bureau has supported Nebraska's farm and ranch families, but their impact stretches far beyond the field. They grow leaders, amplify voices at the Capitol, and strengthen communities across our great state. Agriculture is the backbone of Nebraska. When it thrives, we all thrive. Join Nebraska Farm Bureau today at nefb.org. That's nefb.org. Corn cobs, baby. Matty O, what do you got?
I'm going to go corn cob to a young fella, a guy that came on the field, and I said, who the hell is number 93? Cade Petrock. And yes, I went to the team roster online. They have a little handy little icon you can click on to get the pronunciation exactly right. Cade Petrock. I mean, the kid came in, said, who the heck's this guy? We got Akron pinned back, and he makes a tackle. And I'm like, oh, no, okay, this kid made a tackle. No game. Next play, safety in the end zone. Cade Petrock, 93. Put 2 points on the board for 93 in Nebraska, because that's what that is. Well, if you tackle the other team in their end zone,
oh, is that what that is?
And you get the ball back. Good.
Thank you.
So that kid,
thank you for that explanation.
And TJ didn't, correct me if I'm wrong, did he not lead the team? Did he lead the team in tackles?
Well, the ESPN stats page is weird this morning, but yes, I believe I was looking at something last night. I think he had 4 tackles, 3 unassisted.
So, I mean,
be sure he led the team in tackles.
Yeah. Mm. So shout out to him and shout out to the whole defense. First shout out since the 2009 Holiday Bowl against Arizona. Yeah. That's way too long to go with no shutouts. But, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of 3-point games in there or something like that, too. So, but Cade Petrock, the black shirts. 0 points, goose egg, corn cob.
Well, and I read, I think it was Sam's piece, but I read that like it was really important for Rule that they close the deal on the shutout. Like he made a point, like they really
I got that to, impression.
Yeah,
they put some of the starters back in when they kind of got down into our territory in the second half, and I'm like, oh, they don't want to give up any points.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I have found the Nebraska stat sheet put out by the university. And yes, Cade had 4 tackles, led the team in tackles bunch of guys, Deshaun Singleton, Cam Lenhart, Rex Guthrie, all had three, bunch of other guys on this list as well. So just a great team effort by the defense.
Yeah.
Honestly, all the black shirts deserve a corn cup. Like the black shirt unit as a whole deserves a corn cup. The John Butler trio deserves a corn cup.
Yes. Sorry. I mean, through two games, we've got to be near the top of FBS in passing defense. Like we gave up 69 yards the first game. I don't know what the yardage was passing yards wise this game, but
There was a way to check that.
If only there was a way. It's got to be like, I don't know, 100 yards or less average through two games. It's insane.
Well, Sorsby had 69, and last night they had 62 yards passing. So
okay, so there you go. So we're averaging about 60-ish yards passing given up per game through two games.
I'm gonna look up where the national stats. Geoff, let's go to your corn cup.
Let's go to you, Jeff.
Let's go to Geoff and Lincoln.
Well, you're talking about stats. I mean, I'm Hollywood, like you guys know, but there was just so many Hollywood plays in this game that it was almost impossible to keep track of all of them. I mean, you can't find anybody on the offense that didn't contribute in some way, shape, or form. So it was tough pickings this time. And Dana Holgorsen was really high on this guy during spring ball. I remember him bringing his name up a lot. So it was nice to see him kind of stand out in this game in two ways, one on the field, one off the field. But Luke Lindenmeyer scored his first touchdown for the Huskers, a tight end, which was a pretty big deal. And then I noticed after the game got done, I saw friends of the program, Evan Bland and Mitch Sherman, both posted on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, that he proposed to his girlfriend immediately after the game as well. So
the football account actually even put out video of it. They got it on video.
It was cool. It was cool.
Wow. Well, yeah, I saw that too. So good for that guy. So that's a big night and a big deal for him. So I'm going to give the corn cob to Luke Lindenmeyer.
Hold on, Jeff. What'd she say?
Yeah, did she say yes? Do we know? Did we get any clarification on that?
She said yes.
Jeff, what is that? You always say I'm Hollywood. What does that mean? What do you mean you're Hollywood?
I'm Hollywood. All I want is the big play, the big cool play. Owens is good about giving corn cobs to like defense. Defense is fine, but I like to see the cool stuff. All right, defense is fine, but I like the big flash. Hollywood. Yes, exactly. You know the
you
look
like
at
the
me
feather
moment.
Boa. You like the feather boa and the Rick big Flair. Sunglasses. Yep. And the, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hollywood
driving around in your
Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
You think that has something to do with
these are wrestling analogies, TJ? You don't know anything about this, so these are wrestling analogies. So you can just sit this one out. But yeah, boas and don't bring up my attention span. I have a great attention span.
I don't. It's not clear. It's just unclear.
What were we talking about?
All right, I'm going to give my corn cob to Ja'Cory Barney.
Mm-hmm.
It was great to see him. I was concerned. We talked about this after the Cincinnati game. He literally looked like he got like split in half early in the Cincinnati game. I think it was his first touch or first catch. And then he kind of didn't seem as explosive as he usually is during the Cincinnati game. And then Rule verified it basically during the week and said he's got I don't know if it was an ankle or a knee, but he was kind of dealing with the repercussions of that. And so I thought, well, it's Akron, maybe they'll give Ja'Cory a little bit of a rest. But that young man made his presence known.
Yes.
He had 132 yards receiving, 87 punt return yards. He was electric. He was all over the field. And I keep, because was he 17 last year?
Yeah.
He was number 17 last year. And so I keep like, I'm like, who's that number two? He's really, where did he come from?
He's really good.
Oh, it's Ja'Cory. Okay. So I think I'll use this as an opportunity. I don't think the board of directors will mind if we expand on this a little bit. Again, we could give a corn cob to the whole special teams unit.
Yeah.
Blocked a kick. Shout out to Riley Van Poppel. Punt returns are starting to come around now. And that, again, meant Ja'Cory in particular. I guess we didn't have to punt yesterday.
Yeah.
Which
is good.
Yeah, it's good. I continue to believe, Gary Sharp brought this up, I continue to believe that we should just fair catch kickoffs. Because even after the safety, it felt like the kick return was not what it should have been. But again, like the only way to get better at that is to keep doing it.
Yeah, right. But I'm going to jump in here. And I watched a little bit of football before I went down to tailgate and all that yesterday. there was a play in Iowa State, the Cyhawk, which would, by the way, was just a disgusting football game.
Okay, congratulations to Iowa State.
Yeah, congratulations to the Cyclones. Victory. Good job, our old Big 12, Big 8 brethren.
Old Big 12. Yeah, I could. Who are they playing again? I was trying to.
Iowa Hawkeyes.
Oh, the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, their new quarterback, their million-dollar quarterback, is struggling so far this year. Just You're an kidding. Observation.
Yeah. You don't
just
say.
Just an observation.
Yeah. You don't say.
Yeah.
So but sorry, no, there was a kickoff in that game that Iowa State was on kick return, and they let it bounce at like the they called fair catch and then let it bounce.
Oh.
Rule that I did not know, dead ball. Once you signal fair catch, if the ball hits the ground, that's where the offense gets the ball. So Iowa State had to get the ball at like the 5 yard line.
Oh, holy
shit. So like let's be careful what we wish for. With like the, you know, taking advantage of the rules kind of thing. Like, hey, call a fair catch, get 25. Well, make sure you call a fair catch and catch the damn ball.
Yeah.
That can happen.
I see.
Back to the earlier question. Nebraska currently sits after two games of college football. I guess three for some if you count week zero. Nebraska is currently number two in the nation in passing defense.
Mm-hmm.
We are number 13. In the nation in scoring defense.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on, total defense, I think we're in the top 25 as well. Number 21 in the nation in scoring defense. Pretty solid. Like it's the coming back around. We're 96th in the nation in rushing defense. I don't like that.
No.
Akron did have 113 yards rushing last night. I mean, they had under. We hold them under 200 yards total. It's hard to complain about anything there. But
it was probably around there.
It's been a hallmark of rules teams that they can just completely stifle the run, and that's going to be really important in Big Ten play. So I guess if we want to nitpick about one thing, it might just be like we'd like to see a little bit more dominant run stuffing from the Blackhawks.
Yes. 175 total yards from the photo that I took of – I know you can't really see that.
The board
of the screen last night.
Yeah.
113 passing, 62. No, 113 rushing, 62 passing.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And granted, like people are going to be like, how bad is Akron? Like Akron's pretty damn bad.
Yeah.
But I'm to sure our point that yet. We talked about last night a little bit before we started recording, like we have played teams just as bad and not executed to that level like that.
We looked
so completely different. Akron's bad. They might win one or two games this year. I'll kind of be surprised if they win more than that.
We talked about it before we even started too. Like, yeah, we've struggled with teams like that in the past, but the way that we were one-handed grabs, like stuff that we usually just don't do. Like we were just making incredible plays last night. Everything was going our way. So you can say that Akron sucks, which they probably do, but we were doing stuff that if we would have played like that against Cincinnati last night and got some of the grabs that we were getting last night, we would have blown the doors off of Cincinnati. So that was pretty good to see.
Well, shout out to Quinn Clark too. His first career touchdown. Yep. And he gave a shout out to his father, who's passed away, but was a Husker football player, and he did his number. He like signaled his number.
Oh, that's cool. I missed it.
That's super cool. Great. Yeah. Super
nice.
Cool. But GF, to the broader point, I'll read the first few lines of Chattel's column from this morning, which kind of sums up exactly what we're talking about. Here's what friend of the program, Tom Chattel, said. Now, what are we going to complain about? Well, Nebraska should have beaten Akron 80-0 instead of 68-0. I'm kidding. The angst from a season opening win. Yes. Win. That raised eyebrows and doubts about the Huskers was erased emphatically on Saturday night.
Yes.
No, and this is the part I want to talk about. No doubt about it. This was a performance the Huskers, their coaches, and yes, their fans all needed. And I think that's what we're trying to get at. I think yes, it's what we should have done against Akron, all those things. But to the point about the brothers who emailed me, it hasn't been a given in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
So it was important. It's important for the team to see that and believe that they could do that to a lesser opponent. It was important for the fan base to have like, a lot of games are going to be probably really close this year. We're all going to be shifting in our seats or pacing in our living rooms or whatever it might be. It was important to we've had a few of these in recent years, but not that many, to just like a collective exhale, a collective celebration, and just like spike the football, take care of business.
Yeah. And you know what? I think you could feel it in the stadium, because I look at the scoreboard and I don't know how much time was left, but a lot of time left, and it's like 61-0. And I bet there's still 80,000 people in that stadium. Like, yes. I'm looking around, I'm like, yeah. I'm with Matty Jr. And I'm like, look at this. Like, nobody's leaving. Like,
it's, I noticed
it's
that too.
The quarter was like 5 minutes left or something, and we're up so much.
Yeah.
And I was just, and I know part of it was like people wanted to stay for the fourth quarter.
That's what I was going to say. Even, that show was awesome too.
People even hung around like after that for a little. And I think it's just part of it is like, at least for me, is like, I miss those times where we're kicking the crap out of somebody and people start to leave and you can kind of spread out on the bench seat. And, you know, I mean, maybe you steal somebody's chair back because you're too cheap to buy one like me. And then you're just posted up watching like the second, third stringers, man. That is one of the most fun things that I got to do in my younger days as a Husker fan. And you're sitting in the stadium and it's 3/4 full and you're still watching the boys play. It's so fun.
Well, that's what I like my, in the 90s, I mean, I hate to everybody, the cliche is Nebraska fans.
Take it back to the 90s, TJ.
But literally, it wasn't a question of are we going to win. It was like how many rushing yards can we get? How many different running backs can get over 100 yards? Like, how much can we pound this team into oblivion? That's what I used to watch the scoreboard for, those little nuances or those little other stats, because the game was a foregone conclusion. So it's nice to have those. We're not gonna do that every week, but it was sure nice to. And I expect next week against Houston Christian, it might be similarly ugly.
Hope so. Yeah, I mean, almost. Almost kind of one of those things, like give the first string a couple of series and then maybe we just like let Latif and the younger guys just go off.
Yeah.
Speaking of Latif, he had a good game last night. He was 6 for 7. For 128 yards. ESPN is saying, I thought he had a touchdown. ESPN is saying no touchdown. Let me check.
He scored one, because the first one he made that unbelievable, like double, he juked two guys.
Yeah, did that dive, but his knee came down. But I'm sure he scored again after that.
Oh, he scored. He didn't. I don't think he didn't throw for one, but he scored.
No, he ran one.
Yeah. But that's pretty promising.
You look pretty good. Pretty good. But then the concern becomes, God, I hope we can keep him around with NIL and the transfer portal. And so, hey, let's get him some cash. Let's get him a little retainer. A little retainer.
retainer. Nobody works in this town without a retainer, guys.
That's right.
You can find somebody who does. Let me tell you, you have my blessing. Yeah. All right. Sorry. Good Will Hunting reference. Sorry.
Yes.
No, I mean, Latif looks really good. Let's not worry our little heads about retaining the backup quarterback right now.
No.
And in fact, didn't we talk about starting a Common Fan sponsored NIL fund specifically for backup quarterbacks?
Yes. I think we did. You're right.
We talked about, like, that feels like a good place for the Common Fan podcast to be. It's like supporting backup quarterbacks.
We want to make sure we got backups, guys.
That feels about like our wheelhouse. Like, I'm not sure we can raise the type of money to keep a Dylan Raiola around. Somebody else is going to have to take care of that. But we could support a backup quarterback.
Yeah, for sure.
With our funding, we're probably keeping around the fourth and fifth stringers here. Yeah. So. We got a box of Nutter Butters, about $22.43 in cash and coin. And please stick around.
An old mouth guard.
Yeah. Of old Duke jock straps.
Yes. It's been a while since we've referenced the old Duke jock strap on the podcast.
Because TJ and I don't usually rep.
Yeah, good job. I'm proud of you.
You're the only one who ever brings up jock straps.
Proud
of you. Oh my gosh. Isn't it fun to have this fun and frivolous conversation?
Oh, we're so comfortable.
Speaking of that, Owens, fun and frivolous. And we can get into it later. I am curious. I want to hear about Owens' experience at the game yesterday, since you were there.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot of changes.
It's not all joy and fun and frivolity in Mudville. And Matty-O's not the only one who felt this way. Go for it, Matty-O.
Pull up a seat because, I mean, everything that happened on the field was great, okay? But the changes that they have made, and I'm not talking about beer, but this is part of it. The in-stadium experience for me last night was maybe one of the worst I've ever had as a Husker fan.
Oof. Oh, boy.
They have got to do something about the concessions. So I didn't realize this. I must have missed this somewhere. But apparently they did away with like 3/4 of the hawkers, the walk around selling people, the vendors. Mm-hmm. So everyone is going into the concourse for food, beer, everything. So the concourse is so jam-packed. Like if you get like claustrophobic, good luck. Take some Dramamine, or I don't know what you take for claustrophobia.
Because it was that bad.
The lines were so bad because they've got people that are going to just get food are in the same line of people that are going to get food and beer. And so then the lines are stretched and they have those like quick grab and go things, like where you just grab the, mm-hmm. it's just drinks. So you grab a beer and a water or whatever, and you put it on the thing and you pay. Well, those lines were like stretched out like crazy. Like the lines were insane. Ugh. I luckily found a stand that was just beer. And I'm like, because I just want to get a beer in Memorial Stadium. You know, they sell beer here. Now I'm going to get a beer, damn it. So I found one that was like maybe 5 people deep. And it still took me at least 5-6 minutes to wait for that. So I think it's a combination of new concessions, no hawkers. It seemed like the payment system that they were using was like really slow. I don't know if that's a Wi-Fi thing or what. But like they've got to make some changes and make some fixes to this. Because I know... I was annoyed and upset by it, but I'll pretty much sit through. Like I'm there to watch the game. Like right. If I can just find something to eat, I'll be good. Mm-hmm. So, Matty Jr. and I ended up just saying, you know what, we don't want to stand in line. We're gonna miss the game. Like let's try to find one of the kids, because all the kids and people that are walking around selling stuff, then they're just sitting up in the concourse because there's all the people that don't want to wait in line. They're not even going in the stadium.
So are they not allowed? Are they not allowed to walk around up and down the steps anymore?
No, they
are. Are there just not as many of them?
There's virtually none. So we're in section 37 in the north, in the north end zone. I did not see one hawker walk down our aisle the whole game.
I had heard one of our buddies shared, it's got to be 18 and over now. Like kids can't do it anymore. Is that accurate?
Oh, that would make sense because I didn't see it. I mean, yeah, probably because of the beer thing. I don't know.
It's disappointing. You sold, right, Matty?
Yeah.
I sold damn from about fifth grade into high school. I did peanuts my first year. Over the years, I did hot dogs. I did, you know, it was like graduating to pop was like the big accomplishment, right?
Yeah.
And they had those wire racks.
Yeah.
And then it was the plastic cups with thin like plastic film
like
on top
cellophane
of them.
Or something. Like
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. With the sticky
and
cellophane.
It would just like, you would like spill pop all over yourself and the racks would cut into your hands. But the pop was where you made the most money. It was like but I did pizza over there. Anyway, it was always a great gig for young kids. You could make, you know, say 50 or 100 bucks some games, and you get tips, and you know, people like, I remember I was doing Pete Val's once and some guy was like, you got Valentino's? And I was so excited. I was like yeah, do you want a pizza? He's like, no thanks, I just want the salad bar. But you know,
nice,
like,
ass,
like,
nice dad joke.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, great dad joke, and everybody around him laughed. But it was like, it's a good life experience for kids. It's a good like work ethic thing, a good like just figuring like managing money, figuring out how to pay change, you know, for a sixth grader or whatever. Yeah. And so that's kind of disappointing too if they're going to limit it to 18 and over.
Yeah,
and especially if they're not going to have enough.
Yeah, they've got to make changes because
friend of the program Matt Ranke also posted on Facebook and he tagged us, the Common Fan. What did he say, Jeff?
He said basically he's already missing the walk around drink and food vendors. Like he missed them immediately. So it's definitely a change of the atmosphere in the stadium too, because, you know, you probably are going to miss hearing like somebody walk around like, it's your Valentino's pizza. Yeah. Like you're not going to hear those.
There wasn't any of that.
Those nostalgic type things. So that kind of sucks too.
Well, and to your point, Matt, like it's it's always, I know exactly what you're saying, where you get into the stadium, it's like, I don't want to miss the tunnel walk. We'll figure out food later.
Yeah.
And at exactly worst case, somebody will be by. Somebody will be, you know, like you can always bank on that. Somebody with a hot dog or a pizza or a Runza, Jeff, will be by.
We can do away with that. Those walkers can go. Move along.
So that's disappointing. I'm also curious, Matty-O, because a lot was made of they kept some of the old familiar favorites, right? All the usual suspects, the Fairbury hot dogs and Val's and all those. But did they have new sort of upgraded options? But like what were the food options? Even though you might have needed binoculars to see them from your place in line, you were so far back. But what were the food options?
I did kind of go by a couple of times the two stands in the north concourse. So there was like a barbecued beef brisket sandwich, which I don't remember there being that anywhere near us in terms of, because there might have been somewhere in the stadium, but not by us at our stands. Nachos. I got some tunnel walk nachos for $12.
Okay.
And really, you know, I'm a guy that can just go with chips and cheese. Like that's to me a go-to any sporting event. Easy. So I think I saw the chip. There's like basically chips and cheese for like $6. The tunnel walk nachos, $12. So I'm like, I'm going to go for the tunnel walk nachos. What the heck? So it comes in a little cute Nebraska box, and it's just chips and cheese, and then there's just like pico on it. Like it was like, oh really? So $6
for the pico. Huh?
Is it just a larger quantity of chips or like what? So I mean, it was good. I mean, they were fine. It was good. But like that's about as far as I got, because I'm not really one to like, let's walk around the concourse. Like I'm there for the game. So, before the nachos, we did a little early in the year for me, but we did enjoy a nice hot Runza. A nice hot Runza in the green wrapper, the green and white wrapper. Mm. And I'll be damned if it wasn't really, really good. Like the Runzas and the Val's pizza at Memorial Stadium are the best you can get. I swear to God.
I agree with you on the pizza. I do agree with you on that. Did you hear what I asked you before? Did you use your fingers for the nachos? Did you use like a fork, a utensil?
No, my hands, my fingers. You just get a bunch of napkins and eat it like a man, Jeff.
Jeff,
like
are you?
Wings and, it's like eating wings in public. It's just disgusting. It's too messy.
Jeff, are you? You cut your cheeseburger in half with a knife, don't you?
If I get like a big Philly sandwich from like a restaurant, I'll cut that SOB in half, definitely.
You didn't answer the burger question.
I don't do that. That's absurd. That's crazy.
I don't believe you.
I don't do that. No, that's crazy, TJ.
Okay. All right.
Only psychopaths would do that. That's nuts. But not nachos. You're really gambling in public like that, man. You like to live on the edge. You got to be careful, man. That stuff gets messy. Before you know it, you're going to have it on your shirt. You're going to have it on your fingers.
Well, the fork doesn't help you from spilling it on your clothing, Jeff.
Yeah, it keeps your hands clean.
Like I would argue that I would have better control over my food item with my hands.
Yeah,
God gave us these, Jeff. God gave us these to hunt and gather.
Cut down on the use of paper napkins, for Pete's sake.
So, and Jeff, you won't eat wings in public. I mean, that's the most Geoffrey Lincoln thing ever.
So what if you ordered wings at a bar?
No, I don't order wings. No, I don't order wings at a bar. I order boneless wings at a bar. You guys, that's what I order.
Oh my God. I forgot about that. You're like 12.
Yeah, they're better than regular chicken wings.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
They're saucy nugs.
The reward for eating the time it takes to eat a chicken wing. And just the mess it entails and everything, the payoff is just not there for me. I'm sorry. The payoff is not there. You work so hard to eat these things, you barely even get full.
Well, you enjoy your chicken nuggets. You enjoy your glorified chicken
nuggets. I will. They're good.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeff, I bet you're like my children where like apparently the rare occasions where you do eat bone-in chicken wings, like half the meat is left on the wings.
Yes, it's exactly. They're
like, can I have more wings? I'm like, no, finish your wing first, and then you can have more wings.
I'm with your kids on this one. You get that chewy cartilage-y crap on the end of it. It's just gross.
You don't eat the cartilage.
It's natural.
Yeah. I go to, who's got the grilled wings in Lincoln? The watering hole. The best wings you're going to find.
I'm good on that.
You just get some paper towels, Jeff.
You wipe off, you wipe as you go. You use a few extra paper towels than normal.
I just, and especially the people who get those spicy ones where they're like sweating profusely in public. They have so much sauce on their hands that they have to like hold their glass of beer or water like this. It's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing on all levels.
Then you're not wrong here. That is good.
That's been me many times.
Yeah, I just say.
And I'm not embarrassed. All right, guys. So real quick, a couple other thoughts on the game. It was good to see
back in the game.
It was good to see some other. So Quentin Ives had 4 carries for 34 yards and a touchdown. That's 8.5 yards a carry. Kenneth Williams had a carry for 15 yards. I think he's a receiver.
I think he's been one of the 2 kick returners in every. So he's been on the field, but.
And then Mekhi Nelson, 5 carries for 11 yards and a touchdown. So that's only 2.2 yards per carry. But it's just good to see these guys. Even Connor Booth got in the action, 2 carries for 6 yards. It was good to see a bunch of, you know, some of the backup running backs in particular continue to get worked in there. Did Mosey not get any carries? I know he had
at least 3 catches. I know we were throwing it to him out of the backfield because he had some shimmy and shake on a couple of those.
This is so frustrating. The ESPN stats are not up to date. You know,
it's 2025. Can we just get a reliable stat place to go to here? ESPN used to be that thing for me.
Exactly. Let me see. No.
I feel like Mosey had multiple touches, but I don't know about carries versus receptions.
Here we go. 3 catches for 65 yards.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. Keelan Smith had a catch. Quinn Clark, we talked about his touchdown catch. Harburg had a catch. Cortez Mills had another catch. 2 freshmen. Jeremiah Jones had a catch.
Yep.
So it's good to see all these young guys.
Everybody contributing.
Spreading around.
Yep. I mean, that's the other thing we talked about last week that like needed to happen is we need to get some of these young guys reps. But the live bullets are really going to start to fly week 4 against Michigan. And so, did we talk about that, by the way? Speaking of
Michigan? No, we didn't.
Yeah. Mm-mm. No, Michigan. Did anybody catch any of that game?
I got just bits and pieces. I would step up. I had it on.
I did not see.
They lost to Oklahoma 24-13. At one point, Oklahoma was up 14-0.
Yeah.
And it was like, I wonder if they're going to run away with it.
And at one point, they were up 21-7.
Yeah. They were.
Okay. Yes, they were.
So I don't know. Michael Sevier, when he came on, thought, or maybe it was Gary, I think it was Michael, thought Oklahoma was going to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say about either team, like where they're going to end up. We talked about this with Gary. Would it be better for Nebraska and Michigan to both be 3-0?
Yeah.
And for the Huskers to get a big win against a ranked, undefeated Michigan team. Yeah. Yes, that would be better. Also, though, however, therefore, but thus, thusly. I feel a little comfort seeing
that
this Michigan team may not be dominant.
Yes.
And I just want to win. I don't really care.
Yeah.
It would be better. Again, back to the state that the Nebraska fan base is in. I just want to win against a brand name Michigan program, a conference win, all those things. So part of me is like, okay, that makes you feel a little better.
Yeah, for sure.
Any thoughts on that, or is that just a weak mindset?
No, I mean, I kept telling Ashley last time we were watching the game, and I'd go into the kitchen to check the score. I was adamant. I was like, I was cheering for Michigan. I wanted them to win. Like, I want. It's just. When you have more on the line like that, it's just it makes the game watching experience a lot more fun if you're good and you can keep it close and competitive. Yeah. So I was rooting for Michigan.
I don't think we can read too much into how good or bad. I mean, obviously Michigan's good, but for to have a true freshman quarterback, and I don't care how highly touted he is or how good he is, to make his second start in Norman, Oklahoma against OU is like. That's a really, really daunting task, right? Yeah. So, and I don't know how he looked. I haven't even seen Underwood play yet. I haven't watched Michigan yet. But I think they're still going to be really damn good, guys. Like, really damn good. Because I also the thing that still has me a little concerned about Michigan, and I, for the record, I still think we're going to beat Michigan, but our rush defense, okay,
against
Cincinnati, yeah, there was a lot of leaky yards with Sorsby in the scramble, but then to give up 100 against Akron, and granted, some of that's a lot of that probably against the backups too. We're not going to get too far into that, but Michigan's going to want to pound the ball at us. They just are. I think that's their thing that they want to do to everybody. So we gotta stop the run and make Underwood beat us. And I don't think he'll be able to do that. So anyway.
So Bryce Underwood was 9 of 24 for 142 yards. 142 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions, but pretty pedestrian numbers. And then Michigan, they only rushed as a team. They had Justice Haynes, ran for 125 yards, but after that, they didn't have much. They ran for 146 yards as a team. So again, without having watched the game, is that because Oklahoma's so good, or like, I'm not sure how much we can take away. But again, it just suggests to me that this is not national championship level Michigan from a couple years ago.
Right.
And they clearly got to bring the sign stealing thing back if they want to get competitive.
Yeah, if they want to have any chance there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, Sharon.
Get it together, Sharon. And Sharon won't be in Lincoln for the game against.
I won't.
So, does he not even make the trip?
I have no idea how that works. He thinks so little of us.
He can't like go with the team and like just hang back at the hotel or something.
When a baseball manager gets kicked out of the game, can he just be in the locker room watching the game?
And do like a Bobby Valentine
passing the lockers. Yeah.
Bobby Valentine with like glasses in a disguise on like a Groucho Marx. Just kind of hanging out.
I do think there's some challenges for Michigan, like that's a little bit disruptive and weird that he won't be there. Underwood, again, true freshman in a hostile road environment. I mean, there's some advantages Nebraska will have, but to your point, Matty, it'll be a big test because they have a lot of talent and they have a lot, especially on the offensive line, and they're gonna try to run the ball right at us.
Yeah.
And that's one area. Again, we just got a lot of young guys on the front seven, a lot of new guys in the front seven. And there's been a little bit of leakiness, even against Akron. I mean, they had more rushing yards than they did passing yards. So we're going to have to figure that part out.
Yeah.
All right, boys. There's not much. I mean, there's not, you know, we don't need to go play by drive by drive on this one. It was just absolutely
too much.
Absolutely beautiful, thoroughly enjoyable, fantastic win for the Huskers. 68-0. I thought. Texting with various friends and various groups before the game, everybody was like, 45-7, 52-10. I actually thought, because we were going to be putting in backups, maybe they'd score a couple touchdowns. 68-0. I mean, we just had our way with them.
Yeah.
We absolutely had our way with them.
Yeah.
Feels great. Feels great.
Mm-hmm. It feels really good.
All right, we'll be back at you middle of the week, common fans, because it's the football season. We're doing two episodes every week. Our midweek episode with Gary Sharp last week was truly one of my most favorite episodes.
Great. Gary's awesome.
Gary's great. Tons of great insight and lots of laughs and just fantastic conversation. So we've got another great guest lined up for this coming week. So make sure to stay tuned for that. I believe that episode will be out Thursday morning again, like the Gary Sharp episode was. So we'll be back at you very soon, common fans. Huskers win 68-0. Matty O is in the house. We're 2-0.
Yep.
In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that. Put them in the aisles.
And Nebraska takes the lead. And the national championship is Nebraska's. Bring that trophy back to Lincoln.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards Program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's. We help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.